War of the Worlds. All right, this is a new series. It's a four-week series, this series is about spiritual warfare. That's what we want to talk about. So I just thought I'd start off this whole series with the simple title, The War is Real, because there are many people who believe it's not. There are many people who believe that the war is real, but they're not really involved. So I want you to turn to two scriptures. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy 2:4. Put a marker there. We're going to get to that later in the sermon. And then also go to Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. And we're going to read that in just a few minutes, okay? So 2 Timothy 2:4 will be our second scripture. Daniel 10, 12 will be our first one. If you don't have the YouVersion app, you should get it because it's free. And it's a great Bible app. And we put our notes, our weekly sermon notes on there every week. So, and we put the graphic up there and just a description of the series and all of that kind of thing. So it's really cool. How many of you have the YouVersion app? How many of you are on it right now? Okay, a few of you. Good. All right, so get it. It's really easy to get. Go to your app store, whatever it may be, and download the app, and you can follow along as we're speaking. Sometimes I put more notes on the YouVersion app than I put on the screen. Okay? So, and then the cool thing about the YouVersion app is you can also add your own notes to it, which is really cool. All right, so there are two primary errors when it comes to spiritual warfare, overemphasis and underemphasis, okay? Those are the two primary errors. Some blame every sin, every conflict, every problem on demons that need to be cast out. And others completely ignore the spiritual realm and the fact that the Bible tells us that our battle is against spiritual powers. Those are the two main errors. The key to successful spiritual warfare is biblical balance. Amen? Okay, maybe you don't say amen yet, but you will in a minute. Okay, I'm going to show it to you today. All right, so today I want to address, here's what I want to address. I want to address the thinking that there is no warfare or that there is war, but we're not involved in it, okay? I want to address those two things, that there is no spiritual warfare going on or no war, or there is a war, but we're not involved, okay? There are many who just believe that a war is raging and they're not involved in it, and there are many who believe that there's just not a war raging at all, okay? So the three points that I want to give you today are these. The war is real. You're in it. You're not alone. Okay, those are three points. Point number one, the war is real. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 and 13 says, Then he said to me, this is Gabriel speaking, the angel Gabriel. We know this, okay? So Gabriel is speaking to Daniel, and this is what he said to him. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words have been heard. Let me say that again. Your words have been heard, and I have come because of, say it with me, your words. Okay, I'm going to say it again. Your words have been heard, and I've come because of what? Your words. All right? I want to stop right here and say we know this is prayer. Daniel was praying. He was speaking to God. Okay? So here's something very important real quick. When you're praying, you need to open your mouth and use your words. Amen? Because when your words are heard in heaven, God will send help. Amen. We see it right here in the Word. He said, because your words were heard in heaven, God sent help because of your, say it again, your words. You got to open your mouth and speak words. You can't just pray in your mind, in your thinking. You can pray in your thinking, but you can't just pray in your thinking. Can I say this also before I'll get into this later. I don't want to get too far into this because, boy, I could just jump right off a cliff. But I want to say this also. When you open your mouth and use your words, okay, as you're praying to God, God's not the only one who hears your words. You hear your words, and the enemy hears your words. Your words are more powerful than you understand. Not only do your words go to heaven and God hears your words, and I say go to heaven, God's right here. He's all around. So he hears your words and he responds to your words, but you respond to your words and the enemy responds to your words. It's powerful. Okay, so we'll get into that a little bit later in the series when we're talking about spiritual warfare. But verse 13, look at verse 13. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. Now, he is not talking about a physical prince. This is the angel Gabriel. He's not saying that the physical prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood him. How do we know this? Well, if we look just after the comma, it says, but Michael, one of the chief princes. Now, Michael is the archangel. Okay? He's one of the archangels. And Michael, Gabriel said, Michael, one of the chief princes. So we know that this is not an earthly prince that Gabriel's talking about. It's a spiritual prince because he says, Michael, the chief prince, okay, came to help me. So Michael came to help Gabriel fight against this prince over the kingdom of Persia. And he says, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. Do you see this? So Gabriel's saying, I was fighting with the prince of Persia. This is a spiritual prince. This is a demon. A demon has been given authority over a region or an area. So Gabriel's fighting with this demon, this chief prince over this area, or this prince over the Persia, not a chief prince. And he's fighting with him. And he says, Michael, the chief prince, one of the chief princes, came to help me fight against the prince of Persia. And there I contended with the kings of Persia. These are also demons, okay? Let's look down in Daniel chapter 10, verse 20, and it says this, then he said, do you know why I've come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. This is another demon that is over a region, will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side except Michael. Look at this. Your prince. Look at that. Your prince. Gabriel is telling Daniel, Michael, who is the chief prince, the archangel, he's your prince, and he comes and contends with me against these demonic forces in the earth for you, on your behalf. He's fighting for you. Listen, let me ask you this. Don't you think that it's a shame that Michael has retired? Isn't that terrible? Michael's retired. Now who do we have to fight for us? I mean, do you think Michael's retired? No, he's not retired. Michael, he never retires. He never takes a day off. He's still fighting, right? Don't you think that Michael still fights for God's people today? Don't you think that Michael is still fighting for you today? Absolutely. He and the angels that he has charge over are fighting on our behalf. Every single day, they're fighting on our behalf. There are still demons and there are still angels and there is still a war that is going on. And this scripture that we just read this morning graphically depicts this war. This tells us that Daniel is praying, and because of his words, God dispatches angels to fight the demons that have been causing havoc in Daniel's region and over his life. That's pretty powerful. Pretty powerful that that's what God does. That's how it works. That's how it's happening. I'm telling you, there is a war going on in the spirit realm. There's a war going on right now in the spirit realm. And God continues. Today, he continues to dispatch angels to fight for us when we open up our mouths and use our words. Ephesians 6:11, just so you don't say, well, this is just Old Testament. Ephesians 6:11 through 14 says, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Principalities. Do you know what the word principalities means? You know the definition? A prince over a region. Principalities. That's exactly what the prince of Persia is. He's a prince. He's a principality. He's a prince over a region. He is in authority over a region on this earth. There are demons all over this earth that are in authority over regions. There's principalities all over this earth. And they're reigning over a region. Okay, so this is what we need to understand. Let's continue on in the scripture in Ephesians 6, 11 through 14. It says, we wrestle against principalities and against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let me just stop right there and tell you this. Heavenly places means this, okay? I'm just going to describe it this way, and I'll get to this into this further in the series in a couple of weeks. But heavenly places is this. We live on the planet called what? Earth, okay? This is Earth. This is where you live. Most of us live on Earth. Some of you might not, but most of us live on Earth, okay? Do this real quick. Just very kindly pinch somebody next to you. Pinch them. Just real quick, pinch them. Okay. That is called skin, all right? We live in a body on this planet called Earth. We live in this shell, okay? This body that we live in is not who we are. It just contains who we are. Man, I don't have time because I always do this. I just go whoop off on this rabbit trail, but I think this one's needed. I think this is Holy Spirit speaking, okay? This body that you live in is not who you are. It's just a shell that contains who you are. Somebody needs to hear that this morning, because somebody in this place this morning, maybe several people, you've been looking in the mirror and saying, that's who I am, and that's not who you are. That's just a shell that contains who you are. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you're looking in the mirror going, I don't like this nose, I don't like these ears, I don't like how big I am, I don't like how small I am, I don't like how short I am, I don't like how tall I am, then you're not looking at yourself as God sees you. I'm not saying that you should just love the inner man and hate your outward man. No, you should love everything, because God created it all. But I think too often we look in the mirror and we get stuck on what we see here and not what we see here. Okay? This right here is going back to the dirt. Thank you, Jesus. Right? And we're going to get a new body, and it's going to be a glorious one. All right? So, but here's the thing. We live on planet Earth. God lives, okay, his throne is in heaven, okay? In the Bible, there are really three realms that are described. It's called three heavens, all right? Earth is described as the first heaven, or heaven number one. God's throne is in the third heaven, and in between the first and the third would be what? The second. Come on, you can do this. It's easy. One, three. One, two, three. There you go. Look at that. I see some of you went to Port Huron Northern like I did. And you're smart. Go Huskies. No, I'm just saying, I'm just kidding. They did win Friday night. That's all I got to say. So, sorry all you Big Red fans out there, Big Red alum. And I do, while I'm at it, I might as well say Go Blue. Sorry, Sparty. Sorry, Sparty. Ouch. Okay. So let me get back to this. So there's the first heaven, that's Earth. Third heaven, that's where God's throne is. Second heaven is where the spiritual war is taking place. Okay? It's the second realm. It's the realm between here and God's throne, and that's where the spiritual war takes place. Well, doesn't it take place on the earth? It does affect us here on earth, but it's taking place in the spirit realm. What did the scripture say? Let's go back to the beginning. In verse 12, for we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, we're not fighting this war here on this earth. Okay? World War I, World War II, the Vietnam War, the Korean War, all those wars that we know about, the Civil War, those were flesh and blood wars. Was there a spiritual significance to those? Absolutely. But I'm saying those were fought here in the flesh and blood on the earth. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This war that's taking place is not against human beings. This war that is taking place is against spirit beings, against demonic forces in the heavenly realms, in the second heaven. So the question is, why do you keep fighting the flesh? Ooh. Come on. Why do you keep fighting the flesh? Why are you continually fighting with the person at work? Why are you continually contending with the person on the street? Why are you continually contending with that person in your family? That's not where the war is.
Well, they act like this and they act like that and they're terrible. And blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, well, do you think that they're just doing that on their own? There are spiritual forces at work. There are principalities at work that are influencing the way they act. And if you continue to fight them instead of that principality, you're going to lose every time. Amen. So we need to see this. We need to see that the Bible says in verse 13, God says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This war is taking place, whether you want to admit it or not, whether you want to focus in on it or not, there is a spiritual war taking place, and we need to understand that this war, we are in it and we're fighting it, but we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against those principalities that are in the second heaven, in the spirit realms. The New Living Translation says it this way: we're fighting against evil spirits in the heavenly places. This war is real. Look at somebody next to you. Say, the war is real. And the war is happening right now. Say it. I want to move on to point number two, okay? Point number two is you're in it, okay? You're in this war whether you want to acknowledge it or not. There are a lot of believers who want to pretend that the war doesn't exist. They want to ignore it and hope it will go away. It's not going to go away just because you ignore it. The scripture says like this, we just read it. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. A lot of people want to stop with this, for we do not wrestle. We just don't wrestle. There's no wrestling going on. God's taking care of all that. God and his angels are flitting around, taking care of all the demons. I'm not involved in that. Because God's got it handled. God fights for me. Since God does it, I don't have to do a thing. The Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible doesn't instruct us that the war is going to take place and God's going to fight for us on our behalf and we don't have to do a thing. That's not what the Bible says. So you can't just stick your head in the sand and hope this whole thing blows over. When you pull your head back out of the sand, your life's going to be destroyed. You can't just ignore it. There is a war going on, and you're in it whether you like it or not. Whether you admit to it or not, you're in the war. Which means we have to do something. We have to understand that this is what God has called us to do. 2 Timothy 2:4 says this in the Passion Translation. It says, for every soldier called to active duty must divorce himself from the distractions of this world so that he may fully satisfy the one who chose him. How many of you have been chosen by God, called by Jesus? Come on, raise your hand. You're a son or daughter of the Most High. Get them up high. You're a son or daughter of the Most High. You're proud of it. All right. So you raised your hand. You said, I'm chosen by God. That means you were called by him to fight in this war. Oh, I don't want to put my hand up now. I like the whole freedom part, Bill. Why don't you just go back to talking about that? I like being able to sit down when I want to sit down. But he also called you to fight. He called you to fight. Here's my prayer, my hope and my prayer is at the end of this series, everybody who's been part of this series, all of us will no longer fight in the physical. Like we'll divorce ourselves from that way of thinking. That will be transformed by the renewing of our minds and will no longer think with that stinking thinking. How many of you are with me? How many of you want to do that? How many of you are tired of fighting in the flesh? Come on. Come on. You know, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of being duped by the enemy. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired of this. I'm tired of road rage. And I'm not talking about other people having road rage on me. I'm tired when I have it on other people. Right? Why is it that we can see that in other people, but we can't see it in ourselves? Why is it that when somebody else flips us off and gives us the bird, you know, when they're on the road and we haven't done anything wrong, well, maybe we've done something wrong, but still, why is it when they do it, we can dismiss it and go, well, they just don't know Jesus, and Jesus maybe doesn't live in their heart, and they're not submitted to Jesus. Why is it we can see it that way with them, but when we do it, we can't see that way with us? Why is it we can't see, wow, man, why am I thinking this way? Why am I getting angry with this person? Why am I getting upset with flesh and blood? Why am I acting out or reacting to flesh and blood? My battle is not down here. My battle is not on this earth. My battle is in the second heaven. That's where I need to do war. I'm tired of it. For myself, I'm tired of it. Are you tired of it? I want to divorce myself from this once and for all. I want to stop this. Maybe it's not road rage for you, but maybe it's something. Maybe it's something. Maybe it's another flesh and blood person. Maybe it's another situation. Maybe it's a family situation. I mean, maybe you got somebody in your family. You just had all you can take, all you can stands, and you can't stands no more. Popeye. You know? And eating spinach is not going to get you through. You need to eat the Word of God and spit it back out. You know what I mean? Not spit, you know what I'm saying. Anyway. You know what I'm saying? We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're in this war. We're in it. We're in it. Look at somebody, say, you're in it. You're in this war. So you got to do something. You listen, here's another thing about this scripture that I like. Look at the scripture again. For every soldier called to active duty must divorce himself from the distractions of this world. It's not just divorcing yourself from the flesh and blood battle, but it's divorcing yourself from the actions of this world that may distract you temporarily from the war that's raging around you. I don't care how much activities you get involved in, the war's not going to go away just because you've distracted yourself with the activities of this world. Hello? You can make all the money in the world. You can have all the material possessions in the world. You can go to all the events and activities in the world. You can have all the power in the world. You can be the most popular person in this room. But when the moment that you divorce yourself from the distractions of the world, you'll realize there's a war going on. It's still happening. Those distractions aren't going to stop the war from taking place. And you're still in the war even though those distractions are going on around you. I'm not saying don't pursue those things. I'm not saying don't go after those things, but go after those things because that's what Holy Spirit is calling you to, not because you're distracting yourself so you don't have to fight in this battle. Amen. See, I understand that Jesus came to bring us an abundant life. I understand that the enemy said that the Bible says that Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said this, that Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have become that you may have life and life abundantly, right? It's the words of Jesus, okay? But the abundant life that Jesus is talking about, that he promised, is not a life free from the battle. It's a life of blessings and experiencing the goodness of God in the midst of the battle. That's the abundant life. I think this is where we get distracted a lot of times. I think a lot of times we're like, man, I'm going through heartaches and I'm going through troubles and I'm going through trials and it's just one after another that things are coming on me like this and these struggles that I'm going through. So why am I not living the abundant life? My question to you would be, why can't you live the abundant life in the midst of the trials? Hello? Y'all awake this morning? We can do it. Do you mean my life can't be abundant just because I go through struggles? My life can still be abundant. Isn't it amazing how sometimes, look at the plan of the enemy. Look at the strategy of the enemy. Remember, we're in warfare. He's not just out there, you know, fly by the seat of your pants fighting this battle. That's not how the enemy operates. Remember, he was cast out of heaven, but when he was cast out of heaven, God didn't take all his sense away. Let me say it to you this way. Without God, without the power of Holy Spirit, you don't hold a candle to the enemy. I don't hold a candle to the enemy. Without the power of Holy Spirit, without Jesus living in me, I'm dead. I don't have a chance against the enemy. Without Jesus, he's way smarter than I am, the enemy is. He's way wiser than I am. His strategies are way above mine. Without Jesus, I can't do anything. But with Jesus, I can do all things because he strengthens me. So we need to understand there's a strategy out there. Strategy. The enemy has a strategy. And part of his strategy is to get your eyes on the trials, to get your eyes on the turmoil, to get your eyes on the struggle. And if he can get your eyes on the struggle, he gets your eyes off of all the abundant life that God has given you. Let me use myself personally, and maybe this will relate to you. Maybe this will hit home with you. There have been many times in my life I've been going through a struggle, and my eyes were so on the struggle, so on the trial that I was going through, so focused on that right there, that I was completely distracted from the fact that I was blessed with a beautiful wife who's loyal and faithful and amazing and hot. Baby, you got it going on, girl. Okay. When she does this, I just could do it more. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm going to pay for it later, but I'm getting a laugh, baby. I'm getting a laugh. I'm not focused on my three awesome children. My two amazing sons, my two amazing grandsons. You know what I'm saying? How is it that we can miss all of that? That's an abundant life. That's what life's all about. Oh, but I can't pay my bills. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do what? Why are you so focused on what you can't do and not focused on what God has given you? Because it's part of the enemy's strategy, spiritual warfare. Get your mind off of the good things and get your mind on the struggles. And then before you know it, you identify with the struggles and that's who you become. Amen. I'm liking my preaching this morning. Some days I don't like it. I like it today. Listen, I'm going to finish this up, go to point number 3, and then we're going to be done. All right? In the natural, the best advice, if at all possible, in the natural, the best advice, if at all possible, is to walk away from a fight. Right? In the natural, that's the best advice. Walk away. You'll diffuse it if you walk away from it most of the time. Okay? In the spiritual, you can't do that. You can't do it in the spiritual. You're in it. And you could try to walk away from it, but you're not going to be able to walk away from it. See, in the spiritual, it's not like in the natural. You're in a fight with a bully. You're in a fight with someone who doesn't play fair. You're in a fight with the meanest, cruelest, most vicious, hateful, violent person who has ever existed. That's who you're in a fight with. Like I said, his mission came to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't care about you. He never has and he never will. He wants to destroy your life, and you can try to walk away if you want to, but he's going to chase after you to destroy you. So why are you running? You can't walk away from this fight. You got to stand up to this bully and look him in the face and speak the word of God in his face. I'll get into that later in the series. We'll talk all about speaking with authority. But you have to do it. Have you ever seen... Well, let me just go on. I better go on. Ephesians 6:13. Because of this, you must wear the armor of God that God provides so you're protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Did you hear that? You got to have the armor of God on because you have to confront the slanderer. You can't run away from him. You got to turn and face him, and you got to look in his face, and you got to speak the word of God. Amen. So, there is a war. It's real, and you're in it. And point number three, you're not alone. You're not alone. Did you ever see in a movie or something like that, did you ever see a scene where this bully grabs the little kid, you know, grabs him by the shirt, and he starts to shake him up, and he's just about to pummel him when his eyes get real big, and then he lets the kid go and straightens his shirt and backs away. And the little kid's standing there going, yeah, I finally stood up to him. Today is the day. I'm not going to let this guy bully me any longer. And he's feeling really good about himself, and what he didn't know is this big brother walked up behind him. You know what I'm talking about? You ever see something like that? Let me say this to you. You got a great big brother. The enemy, Satan, is terrified of your big brother. Terrified of him. And when you stand up to the bully, you're not standing alone. You're not in this alone. The enemy will try to make you think you are. It's part of his strategy is to bring fear to you. Now, this is something that Ethan Bricker, our teaching pastor, will talk about next week. So I'm not going to get into this, but he's going to bring a message next week about fear. And this is what the enemy will do. He'll try to make you afraid. He'll try to bring fear to you. He'll lie to you and tell you you're all alone in this. You don't stand a chance. It's what bullies do, don't they? Bullies work through fear and intimidation. That's how they operate. But most of the time when you stand up to a bully, the bully will back down. But this time, every time you stand up to the bully in the spirit realm, you know he'll back down because Jesus has got your back. He's right there with you. Satan's not seeing you. He's seeing Jesus. Do you think he's going to grab Jesus' shirt collar? Nope. I love what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that, listen, God is so powerful, Satan doesn't hold a candle to him. I've said this to you many times. If Satan were an ant, God is greater than the universe. Can you imagine? It's not just if Satan were an ant, God were like us. No, if Satan were an ant, God is greater than the universe. There's no chance for the enemy. And I love this. See, Jesus could just speak a word and the enemy is dispatched. Satan's dispatched. But I love the Bible says that God can dispatch him with the snort of his nostrils. Done. It's almost like a snicker. You know what I'm saying? That's powerful. There's power in this. You're not alone. God is with you. He is for you. He fights for you. The Bible says that if God be for me, y'all know the word of God. Come on, if God be for me, Bible says greater is he who's in me than, come on, y'all. If God is for you, Satan can't even touch you. I love this. Isaiah 54:17 says this. But in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. Isn't that powerful? Look at the benefits that are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. In the coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. It doesn't matter what weapon the enemy brings against you, it has no chance of succeeding in this war against you. You will silence every voice raised up against you to accuse you. Every voice that raises against you, you'll be able to silence it. These are the benefits that you and I enjoy because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Maybe we get nervous about this war because we're not confident in the Word of God. I will say that again. I said, maybe we get nervous about this war because we're not confident in the Word of God. Again, I've said this about 5 times in this message, but it's just to keep myself on track so I don't go somewhere I don't want to. But later in this series, I'm going to talk about that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to talk about that. What do you think the Word of God does for us? Renews our mind. Transforms us. It changes us. And if you're not confident in the Word of God, you're going to be nervous about this spiritual war that's taking place. It's taking place. It's taking place right here, right now. It's taking place this morning. When we come into this place, we talk about this all the time in our staff. We talk about how the enemy wants to stop this. He wants to stop this. Why does the worship team just go on? And they're singing songs that there's no lyrics up on the screen. There's stuff like that. Why is that going on? Why is that going on? Because we understand the enemy wants to stop this, and we want to break through. We understand we're in a war. And we're not just singing to sing. We're not just singing to sing. We're worshiping God because we understand the praises of God's people breaks through the atmosphere and breaks every chain of bondage. So this is war. This is war we're doing up here. I'll get into that later. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm going to end with this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fight for their lives. But they refused to bow to the enemy. They refused to give in. They refused. They said, we're not going to do it. We're not going to give in. Nebuchadnezzar had this statue erected and said, you must bow down to it when the music plays. And if you don't bow down to the statue when the music plays, if you don't bow down to this false god when the music plays, then you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we will not do it. They were in a battle. They were in a fight. They were in a war. Okay, and this is what it says. I love this scripture. One of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. It says this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. I love this scripture. I love it. It's a great depiction of what we go through today. It absolutely is. In the spirit realm, it's a great depiction. We're not facing an enemy that, like Nebuchadnezzar, that's saying you need to bow down to these false gods. In this golden statue that's erected, we're facing a spiritual enemy, a prince over an area. We're facing an enemy that's saying to us each and every day, you need to bow down to me and bow down to the things that I'm doing in your life and bow down to the fear and intimidation that I'm bringing to you. You need to bow down to these things. And we need to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and respectfully say, enemy, I'm not going to bow down to you. My God who fights for me will save me. But even if he doesn't, I'll never bow down to you or serve you. Imagine what the enemy thinks when believers and the most holy God stand up and say something like that to him.